formed in 1985 by singer Jim Ellison, the power pop trio self-released an EP in 1987. '91 saw the release of their full-length debut, International Pop Overthrow, an album that was produced by Jeff Murphy of The Shoes. You
You're listening to WRCT's annual Massive Music Weekend,
where our DJs are showcasing some of their favorite artists in half-hour blocks.
That's 60 hours of programming divided into 120 artist blocks all weekend long.
Check out the complete schedule at WRCT.org.
Thanks for listening. And now back to the music.
In 1992, Material Issue followed up their breakthrough debut with Destination Universe, and once again produced by Jeff Murphy.
Yeah. later, we got a one-room shack just north of the equator with a giant stereo and a manic TV. And every once in a while, she says this thing.
Third and final proper release, Freak City Soundtrack, came out in 1994. It was produced by legendary producer Mark Chapman, who was known for his work with The Sweet, Suzy Quatro, and producing the breakthrough albums by Blondie and The Knack. The album also featured guests like Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick and Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses. Sales, however, were disappointing, and by early 1995, the band parted ways with Mercury Records.
Well, I know it's been a little while since the first time that I made you smile.
Sadly, on June 20th, 1996, Jim Ellison, the man who started the band 11 years before, committed suicide at the age of 32. Recordings done in 1995 and 1996 were released posthumously on a fourth and final album, Telecommando Americano. That has been a Material Issue Massive Music Block. I hope you've enjoyed it. A feature-length documentary on the band is scheduled to be released later this year. I also want to remind you that Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while they specialize in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in their sauce or any unbleached flour in their dough. Spack Brothers is committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic by providing online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about the online ordering at SpackBrothers.com. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at SpackBrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or SPAKBrothers.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Keep listening for more great blocks of our favorite artists during Massive Music Weekend on WRCT Pittsburgh. He's more evil than anyone here ever thought. Does anyone know the way? Did I hear someone say? They just got a clue. Oh. Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way. It's a blockbuster. Does anyone know the way? Did I hear someone say?
Folk Songs of America, another program by that inimitable singer of America's own songs, Huey Leadbelly Ledbetter. Leadbelly can sing so many songs and so many different kinds that it's often a problem which to choose. How many songs do you know, Huey?
Well, I can sing 500 songs and never go back to the first one.
My goodness, that's quite a mess of songs. Well, today, Leadbelly's decided to give you a cross-section of his repertoire, one or two samples of several different types of songs he sings. The first is a group of work songs, beginning with the old favorite, Grey Goose.
Now, this is a Grey Goose. The preacher went out hunting down in my home on a Sunday when he's supposed to have been at church, and he was a pastor of that church. And he went out to try to kill a gray goose instead of being at church, and the amen sisters found it out, and they was talking it over the next week. Said, did you know the reverend went out trying to kill him a goose? But one of the sisters said, Lord, Lord, Lord. And that's where that Lord, Lord come in. So I'm going to tell you about that preacher. And that old gray goose is still laughing at him yet. One Sunday morning, Lord, 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 preacher went and heard it. Lord, 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 he carried along with shotgun. Lord, 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 don't come a great goose. Lord, 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 gun went off the bloom. Lord, 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 don't come the great goose. Lord, 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 he was 6 weeks a-falling. Lord, 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 he was 6 weeks a-hauling. Lord, 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 then my wife and your wife. Lord, 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 give a better picking. Lord, 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 they were 6 weeks of picking. And they put him on a pebble. He was 6 weeks of boiling. Then they put him on a table. And the fork wouldn't stick him. And the knife couldn't cut him. Then they throwed him in the hog pen. And the hog couldn't eat him. Lord, 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 they broke the hog's teeth out. Lord, 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 they took him to the sawmill. Lord, 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 and the saw couldn't cut him. And they broke the saw teeth out. And the last time I see him, he was flying across the ocean with a long string of golden. Lord, 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 and the hog went quack, quack. Lord, Lord, Lord.
Now, here's a song about another kind of work, cotton picking. Another favorite, boll weevil.
Now, this is a boll weevil, and this is a boll weevil come through down south. It was a man, he's a sharecropper, and he used to raise 25 and 30 bales of cotton. And after the boll weevil come through, he didn't make but one bale. And while the boll weevil done come and gone, this is his talk, and I'm going to sing it to you in a song. You can talk about it, ladies, about the ladies of your own. These boll weevils, they will rob you of a home. They're looking for a home. They're looking for a home. One time I seen a boll weevil, he was sitting on a square. The next time I seen a boll weevil, he had his whole family there. He's looking for a home. He's looking for a home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home. The farmer taking the boll weevil, he put him in the ice. People with him said to the farmer, you're treating me mighty nice, and I'll have a home. And I'll have a home. The farmer taking the boll weevil, he put him in the sand. The boll weevil, he said to the farmer, you treat me like a man, and I'll have a home, and I'll have a home. I will have a home, I will have a home, and I'll have a home, and I will have a home. The old man said to the old lady, baby, what do you think of that? I got one of them boll weevils out of my brand new Dutton hat, and it's full of holes, and it's full of holes. The old lady said to the old man, I'm trying my level best. Keep these boll weevils out of my brand new car. dress and that's full of holes. And that's full of holes. It is 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 full of holes. The farmer, he said to the merchant, I never made but one bale. Before I let you have that last one, I will suffer and die and deal. And I'll have a home, and I will have a home. I've been about to ask you people who come cold as stone. Tell him it's you to let better. He's just been yelling, gone. He's looking for home. He is looking for home. He is looking for home. He is looking for home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home.
Well, now we turn from work to play. A Sookie Jump tune, a tune that's still popular at dances down in Texas. Yaller Gal.
Now, this is Yaller Gal. The boys would go to a Sookie Jump, and to the girl down there, she was named Yaller Gal. When they go to the Sookie Jump, they'd call for Yaller Gal, and they get to dance, they'd sing about Yaller Gal. Oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. I went home with a 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 yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow gal. I got stuck on the 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 yellow gal. Yellow, 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 yellow gal. Never said a word to the yellow gal. I never said a word to the yellow gal. Never said a word to the yellow gal. I never said a word to the yellow gal. The yellow, 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 yellow gal. The yellow, yellow, yellow gal. The yellow, 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 yellow gal. The yellow, 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 yellow gal. She's pretty and fat, yellow gal. Pretty and fat, yellow gal. She got pretty hair, yellow gal. She got pretty hair, yellow gal. The yellow, 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 yellow gal.
More play. This time a children's play song. Ha ha this away, ha ha that away.
Now this year's children's playing. Down home they play like little frogs in a mill pond. They'd get around and grab one another by the home and they'd dance around, they'd sing. And if they'll sing, they dance the way they're singing. If they say ha ha this away, that means this away. They ha ha that away, that means you're going from me to somebody else. Ha ha this away, ha ha that away, ha ha this away, and then oh then. When I was a little boy, little boy, little boy, when I was a little boy, 12 years old, Papa went and left me, and left me, and left me. Papa went and left me, so I was told. Ha ha this away, ha ha that away, ha ha this away, and then oh then. Mama come and got me, got me, got me. Mama come and got me to save my soul. Mama never whipped me, whipped me, whipped me. Mama never whipped me, so I was told. Ha ha, this is whip, ha ha, that a whip. Ha ha, this is when they know then. I went to school, went to school, went to school. I went to school and I was 12 years old. Obey the rule, the rule, the rule. Obey the rules as I was told. Ha ha, this is whip, ha ha, that a whip. Ha ha, this is when they know then. Went to a teacher, teacher, teacher. Went to a teacher to save my soul. Teacher was a preacher, preacher, preacher. Teacher was a preacher, so I was told. Ha ha, this way, ha ha, that way. Ha ha, this way, and then, oh, then. Learned my lesson, lesson, lesson. Learned my lesson to save my soul. Wasn't that a blessing, blessing, blessing? Wasn't that a blessing, so I was told. Ha, this way, ha, that way. Ha, this way, and then, oh, then. Ha, ha, this way, ha, ha, that way. Ha, ha, this way, and then, oh, then.
Leadbelly winds up today's proceedings with one of the wailingest, lonesomest blues you've ever heard. Leavin' Blues.
Now this is leaving blue. What I mean is leaving time. This man had lived with a woman 20 years. And he's waiting for the TPS shop. And when he come in home that evening, his time to come home was 5 o'clock. She got behind the door. And just as he walked to the yard gate to come in, she jumped out behind the door and threw up both hands. She said, "You can't come in here no more." He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I don't want you." He said, "Can I get in my clothes?" She said, "No." "Then you can't come." And he turned around. Now get in the blue. Yes, I'm leaving, leaving, mama. Woo. But I don't know which way to go. I'm leaving, mama. But I don't know which way to go. Cause that woman I've been living with for 20 years, mama, says she don't want me no more. And I feel like walking, mama. Woo. And I feel like lying down. I feel like walking, mama, and I feel like lying down. Cause the woman I've been loving with for 20 years, mama, Lord, she done sold me down. Brother, see my coffin coming. Woo! Lord and Lord and my back door. Brother, see my coffin coming, mama. Lord and Lord and my back door. And yet that good-looking woman tell me to my face, mama, that she can't use me no more. I got holes in my pocket, baby. Woo! I got patches on my pants. I got holes in my pocket, mama. I got patches on my pants. I'm behind in my house rent, mama. Landlord, he wanted all in exact. Why don't we get it on? Everything I'll do is wrong. Tell me what the reason I'm not pleasing you. If I kiss you, you'll be mad. If I don't, you'll feel bad. Tell me what the reason I'm not pleasing you. You can go your way, I can go my way. Go from door to door. I done give you every nickel that I have you, mama. You know I ain't got no more. I have tried and then I'll try. But still you ain't satisfied. Tell me what's the reason I'm not pleasing you.
You have been listening to Folk Songs of America, featuring the great folk singer, Beauty Leadbelly Ledbetter. If you'd like a copy of the words of Grey Goose, one of the songs you heard on today's program, just write to Station WNYC, Municipal Building, New York City, and enclose a 3-cent stamp. Leadbelly will be back again next week with his friend Miss Ann Graham. And for the very first time, Beauty says, we'll hear a lady singing work songs. This program was written, produced, and announced by Amnon Valver. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.
Hello, this is Adam Clayton here, the bass player from U2. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Well, this is Ziggy Marley, and you're listening to WRCT in Pittsburgh, you know, Go Steelers.
So there's been this massive robbery of the population for 40 years, and has its effects on the way the government works. That's why you end up with say 90% of the population being basically unrepresented. And these struggles go on constantly. They're going to go on in the post-pandemic world. It's a radical class struggle, but only one element in the struggle is always fighting, the business world. They're dedicated, they never stop. Unless working people, general population, take part in the class struggle, they're going to get it in the neck.
That's Noam Chomsky, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Noam Chomsky on class struggle or get it in the neck. The ruling class, and there is such a thing, assiduously attends to its needs. That is to say, to maintain and expand its power and wealth. How does it do that? By manipulation, propaganda, and political influence. It deploys divide and rule tactics to not only distract most people, but goads them to turn on one another. The idea is to get people to look down and not up at those who are on top. So your class enemy is not gazillionaires such as Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg, but it's the poor guy down the street, out of work, behind in his rent, and his family doesn't have enough food to eat. The boot is on his neck. How to get it off, organize, and resist. Our guest today is Noam Chomsky, the legendary scholar activist who has been a leading voice for peace and social justice for many decades. Chris Hedges says he's America's greatest intellectual who makes the powerful as well as their liberal apologists deeply uncomfortable. I talked with Noam Chomsky on November 30th. He was at his home in Arizona, and I was in Boulder. Let's start with the pandemic. Excuse this crude expression, but Americans are dropping like flies, a death a minute. NPR reporting a dire picture around the country. Hospital resources are stretched thin. New York Times headline, as surge spreads, no corner of nation is spared. If this is not a national emergency, I don't know what is. What must be done?
What has to be done is to follow the advice of the scientists and of the countries that have successfully managed it. It is not inevitable. We can see this from the fact that other countries, rich and poor, have handled it pretty well. China, for example, is just back to work. There are very few cases. Vietnam, right on the border of China, almost no cases. New Zealand, basically under control. Australia, pretty much under control. Taiwan, Senegal, Kenya, Nordic countries are not too bad. I mean, there are places that have more or less managed, which tells us, and they're countries of a very diverse kind, which tells us that it is possible, but not without leadership that most of the time even denies that it's happening, which filters down to the population. We've seen reports of people in, say, the Dakotas dying in hospital beds of COVID and telling the nurses that it's all a hoax, it's not happening. You drive around, I stay home, but I drive sometimes. You see people congregating in supermarket malls, no masks, normal behavior. Yes, that's going to happen.
Yeah. What about this notion of what you hear in some circles of individual freedom versus collective responsibility?
Well, individual freedom is a curious idea. I mean, do you have the freedom to drive on the left side of the road if you feel like it? Do you have the freedom to run around supermarket mall shooting off an assault rifle at random. That's what it means to go to a public event, a public area, without wearing a mask. That's threatening people's lives, seriously. That's not individual freedom. That's unacceptable license. Nobody accepts the kinds of things I described. If you want a choice not to wear a mask, that's okay. Stay home. Don't endanger others.
At some point soon, hopefully, there will be vaccines. But how do we want to come out of this pandemic and attendant economic crisis? The status quo ante?
There will be vaccines. In fact, there are some already that are in pretty advanced stages of testing. The most advanced, as far as I know, is almost unmentionable in the United States, the Chinese vaccine. They're already using it on large numbers of people. That may or may not be good practice. That I'm not in a position to judge, but it's apparently pretty advanced and it's taken seriously by American scientists. We don't hear about it. It won't be available to Americans if it works. There are vaccines being developed here, what's called the Pfizer vaccine, which actually was developed by two Turkish immigrants in Germany, marketed by Pfizer. It's the Moderna vaccine. These may come along. There's an Oxford vaccine. Then comes the question, will people take them? Can they be distributed to the people who need them? Those are open questions. There are policy choices that relate to this. So, for example, there is an international consortium, COVAX, 160 or 70 countries, which have been working on trying to develop cooperation in vaccine development, which is obviously the best way. Data should be shared freely, not sequestered by particular private corporations and governments that support them. Should be shared freely, should be general involvement, there should be no monopolization of vaccines, there should be distribution arranged to the people around the world who need it, not those rich enough to buy it. All of these things, at least in principle, are the working agenda of COVAX. How well it's being honored, we could ask, but at least that's the agenda. The US just refuses to participate, it's pulled out. So that of course undermines it. Other efforts to develop the United States, not alone, some of the European countries have done this, are trying to monopolize any vaccine that comes. Then comes the question of using it and distributing it within the country. In the United States, there are large number of people who say, we're just not going to accept this. We don't want the government to intrude on our personal lives. I don't believe it. There's a big anti-vaccine movement in the United States altogether, which has a lethal effect. In a rich country like this, it's a significant effect. In poor countries, if it spreads there, it's just lethal. But there is such a movement. It's rooted in understandable contempt or at least distrust in government. Understandable, but it shouldn't reach to this domain. And that's going to be a serious problem. Even if a vaccine is developed and is available, we, of course, United States is unusual, almost unique, and not having a general health system. So it's not clear that a vaccine is available, it'll even be affordable, or that there'll be places where people can go to get it. That takes national coordination. Trump administration has, of course, refused to do this. It remains to be seen whether a Biden administration will carry out a plan. Trump has refused until just a few days ago even to share data with the incoming Biden administration. That, of course, makes any reaction slower and more ineffective. There should be major pressures to accelerate the development of, first of all, the imposition of procedures which will restrict and mitigate the spread of the virus. And secondly, efforts to make sure that when vaccines are available, they'll be essentially free and there will be distribution ensured to those who need them, who will be encouraged to take them, not being told that the vaccine is a hoax and that the disease is a hoax. And we're living in a country of, where a large part of the country is just in an extreme denialism. If you can believe the polls, over three quarters of Republicans think that the election was stolen. Huge percentages think global warming is not a serious problem. Actually, it's an extraordinary problem. The denial of the pandemic is also significant. In such an atmosphere, it's going to be very hard to deal with extremely serious problems. And that's just the beginning. Remember that if we manage to overcome this crisis, there are other ones coming. We should remember what happened in 2003. We're going to relive that. The SARS epidemic was contained. Scientists informed the world that other coronavirus epidemics, maybe pandemics, were very likely. The means to become prepared were available. They were described. They weren't pursued. The drug companies weren't interested because there's no profit in it. The government was held back by the neoliberal claims that government can't do anything, demands. So some things were done. The Obama administration, which was science-oriented, when it came into office, Obama did convene the president's science advisory council. He requested a pandemic response system, which they prepared, and it was put into operation. It was terminated in January 2017 when Trump came into office. One of his first actions was to dismantle it, to proceed to end the programs where American scientists were working with Chinese colleagues to try to identify potential viruses. Center for Disease Control was defunded. The United States was singularly unprepared when the virus finally hit, and then came chaotic reactions which have led to this destructive impact that you described. Again, it's going to happen when this one is contained. We either learn the lessons or we face even worse pandemics. Should bear in mind that so far we've been lucky with coronaviruses. There have been some, like the present one, which are highly contagious but not very lethal. There have been some, like Ebola, which was very lethal, not too contagious. Nothing guarantees that the next one down the road won't be the worst of all worlds, contagious and lethal.
Well, doesn't the severity of the current crisis demand a kind of national emergency? Would you favor something like that to coordinate response?
There was no coordinated response. In fact, Trump very explicitly, I think, back around May or so, said it's the responsibility of the states. We're not going to do anything about it. From his point of view, you could understand that. That meant if anything went wrong, as it was very likely to do, you could blame it on the states, especially the states with Democratic governors. You could blame it on them. And of course, if significant measures are taken, it will have a harmful economic effect. So you could blame the harsh economic consequences on the methods that were taken to control the crisis. All of this was done. I mean, some of the things that were done were really surreal. So when there was a chief scientist in charge of vaccine development, he criticized some of Trump's quack medicines. He was fired. You know, this happened all the way up and down the line. Since the election, it's gotten worse. Trump simply refused to do anything, as I said, even to hand over data. It's as if, and it may be true, that they just want to make it worse so that the country will be more ungovernable when Biden comes in and failures can be blamed on the Democratic administration. McConnell, remember, who's sort of the evil genius behind many of these plans, has a long record of working to render government ungovernable. If it's in the wrong hands, did that with Obama for years. It's not an attractive picture. I mean, the one positive thing is that Biden does seem to be attentive to the views of the scientific community, at least so it looks. I hope that's true. But he's sure not going to get any cooperation from the Republican Party.
Let's talk about the November 3rd election, the record turnout of 150 million people, the success of voting by mail and early voting, a bit of euphoria, if I could use that term, as the autocrat is replaced and we can go back to things as they were, a kind of restoration. A sigh of relief was audible in establishment circles and in media. Pundits like David Brooks and Thomas Friedman and Mark Shields. You wrote to me a few days after the election. You said of the results, I'm quoting you, relief, but no celebration. Depressing to see Democrats blow it again. What did you mean by that? Because the Democrats had plenty of money. What happened to the blue wave?
The Democrats lost. To an incredible degree, they lost at every level except for the presidency. And the presidency was a vote against Trump, even by many of the wealthy who were tired of his, the corporate sector, and tired of his antics. But at every other level, Congress, state legislatures, local elections, they lost and badly. Literally at every level. And this was, if you think of the circumstances, it's astonishing that Trump was even able to run. Here's somebody who had just killed tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans through malevolent practice, let alone all of his other crimes. And he's running for president and considered a viable candidate. And not only that, but the whole ticket that supported him won at every level. It's an amazing defeat for the Democrats. And you take a look, and you can ask, not that the Democrats are all that great, but it was just a just in terms of party politics, it was a shocking failure. And I think you can see why. And the Democrats devoted their campaign efforts to try to swing some affluent suburbs towards the Democrats. Well, maybe they succeeded in that, but that's not enough to develop any sort of electoral strategy. In fact, this has been going on since Obama. Since Obama, the Democratic Party has pretty much abandoned its activities at the local and state levels. Just doesn't bother. It's a party of Wall Street, rich professionals and so on. The others will take care of themselves. And you can see this in particular cases. So there's been a lot of discussion about the quite remarkable Democratic Party losses in South Texas on the border, largely Mexican-American community. well, number of reasons. These are areas that hadn't voted for a Republican for a century, literally, since Harding. Trump did quite well, even won in some areas. Dramatic reversal. A number of analyses have been put forth, but one that I think is very telling is that these are oil, this is an oil economy. And if you read liberal commentators, they say that Trump, that Biden lost it because of the terrible gaffe in the last debate. You'll recall at the end of the last debate, Biden said something which had liberal commentators just shocked at his terrible gaffe. He's a horrible thing to say. And he was then trying to overcome the mistake. Others were trying to do it too. What was the mistake? He said, we have to do something to prevent the human species from being destroyed. It's basically what he said. Those weren't his words. His words were, we have to face the fact that there's going to have to be transition to a non-fossil fuel economy, which is equivalent to saying we have to do something to try to make sure that, make it likely at least that human society can survive. That was a horrible gaffe, and it affected the oil-producing economies because people felt, you hear it from interviews and so on, the Democrats are going to take my life away, going to take away my job, my community, my businesses, and so on, just because some pointy-headed liberals claim that there's a climate crisis. Okay. Now, of course, the gaffe was not saying it loudly and clearly. Yes, we have to say that loud and clear. We have to get off a fossil fuel economy and fast, within a couple of decades, which means not delaying, starting now, cutting it back each year, so that, say, by mid-century, we've finished with fossil fuels. That has to be said strongly and persuasively. So what do you do about...
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Morning news update. Mock's promise to rewrite rock history was prematurely and tragically interrupted last night when an overwhelming power surge totally destroyed Carnegie Hall, then blacked out the entire city. Survivors described the destruction as evil, spooky, and wow, bad karma, man. Our cameras are on the scene.
There is no question that I am it. Hey, girls.
Hey, mom.
thanks a lot. My name is Mark, thanks a lot.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. That it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Mm-hmm. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch. When I look over my shoulder, what do you think I see? Some other cat looking over his